The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host for the House of Hardcore podcast, Tommy Dreamer!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the House of Hardcore podcast. I'm your host, Tommy Dreamer. And welcome to my first podcast of 2023. I've been on hiatus, didn't really give a reason, kind of a private person, even though when I do these things, I open up a lot going on in my real world. I'll start from, like, besides my busy-ass schedule going on, probably towards the end of October, my mom had a stroke, and a lot of days where it was really bad. And like, I'd visit her every day. I'm a mama's boy. And I was like, this is the last day I'm going to see my mom. She was on death's door. And luckily, I now know where I get my, I always knew where I got my craziness from, but I also know where I get my toughness and my strength from. It's definitely my mom. She made a hell of a recovery. She had no mobility in her legs for, I think, 4 days. And like, she couldn't move them at all. And then it slowly started coming back. And then like, first you're in the hospital, then you go from the hospital, you go to a rehab center. And the hospital was amazing, took great care of her. And so was the rehab place. It was a place called Burke Rehab Facility. If anyone you ever know that lives in the New York area suffers a stroke, I highly recommend this place. And then they move you to another place just because it's amazing how many people suffer from stuff like this. And you go through all the rehab, and then she finally got out. She was able to, we were able to spend Christmas with her, in the sense of we went over to her house, and my mom will not have a home health aide, and she did everything by herself. I mean, learning how to walk, learning how to do so much stuff on her own again. Also, you know, my mom is 82 years old. She'll be 83 in May. So that was a heavy thing. And a big reason for this podcast is I kind of always tell stories, but it's also like there's a point to all my madness. During this time, I also have a sister, and probably about 2 weeks in, me and my sister are talking, and then she's like, hey, I got to talk to you, and this is going to be really, really hard. And I hear her voice start cracking. And it was a hard conversation to have. And I first thought like something was wrong with my mom. And then my sister said something was wrong with her. And it was devastating news. She has cancer. And she's like, you have to take over because I can't help you because I have to help myself. And she's like, we're not going to tell mommy. We both call her mommy still. We're still children. And she also didn't want to tell her youngest daughter. My niece is getting ready for the Olympics and didn't want to have her to have a setback. So it was a lot. And then my sister had to have a surgery to have her stuff taken care of. And then she almost died in surgery. I'm sorry, after surgery. So she's like, I can't die and not tell, you know, my family. So we just had to wait. And that was for after the holidays. So again, now my mom, who refuses to have home health care, was, that's right, I have to do it. And, you know, dealing with the elderly, and man, if you're working with elderly people, you can't get paid enough, because it's very, very time consuming. And I know how stubborn I am in my 50s. I don't know how I'm going to be, however old, if I was become 82 years old. But you want to have your life. You want to have your own life that you've built. My mom still lives on her own. My mom still works, not because she has to, because she wants to. She's very, very, she always says, I got to keep going, because if I just stop, I'm just going to wither away. And she doesn't want that. My mom always, you know, she made all my wrestling outfits from the first day to the last day. I still have them all. All my robes, she made outfits for the boys. And then she's like, wrestlers are too picky on what they want. Plus, she was like, I don't feel like measuring men in their groin area. So she's crazy. So, you know, dealing with that, dealing with my sister, it's a lot. I also can't see my sister because I travel so much, and I'm around a lot of people, and her now immune system is compromised. And she's also almost died a second time due to having an allergic reaction to the treatment. And these are all things that I'm going on with, in my life, hence why, you know, I do travel a lot with wrestling, indies, Impact, doing Busted Open. So I didn't have time. Plus, I didn't really feel like talking. I kind of say I could feel I went into a bit of a depression myself. I mean, that also stemmed from I like to eat, and then it's also food is there for me. And I plumped up to a whopping 326 pounds. It also had to do with my own health. I had to go on prednisone, and it put on a lot of weight. I had to go on it twice, and it, you know, I even said, man, if I was 250 pounds, my ideal weight is 250 to 255, and I put on 60 pounds, I'd be 305. Well, I was 270, and I went up and up and up. And it's hard. It's a lot harder when you get older. I'm currently, like, I set goals, and I was like, man, at Hard to Kill, I'm going to at least be in the 280s. And I did it at Hard to Kill. I hit 288, and I was very, very proud of myself. Battled with my weight my whole life. And then that weekend, I come home from Hard to Kill, 296. That's right. I gained 8 pounds from a Wednesday to a whatever day. I think I came home on that Monday. That's how quickly you could gain weight. It takes forever to lose it. And then you get so quickly to gain, because again, you're working, I'm working late, I'm eating like crap, there's cookies around, and I do, I struggle, and I hate it. And plus, like, every time my phone rings, I worry about my mom, I worry about, you know, my sister. So that's kind of what's been happening with me. I set my goal for No Surrender to be in the 270s. I didn't hit that. I was 286, no, 284. And I was pissed at myself right now. And speaking of, again, go away that weekend, 284, I weighed myself right before I left. And then I came back and I weighed 290 something, maybe two. So I gained another 8 pounds, just eating like garbage. So with all that said, I'm currently 284, and I'm kind of done with like eating like garbage. We had a TV tapings recently, and I did pretty good, just because it is my health and dealing with like my mother and my sister and seeing their health. I want to live a healthier lifestyle. And also, when, you know, you look in the mirror and you don't like what you look like, that weighs heavy on you. But you can't fall into that depression, because like, here's like my two, I guess, messages from all this. Number one, your life changes in a second. Mine went, and my sister's like went to very bad, between my mom and then her own health. And like my sister has a beautiful family, and like everything like quickly changed in like a heartbeat, like within a week. And like I always say, you need to reach out to people that you haven't talked to, or try to, I don't want to even say bury hatchets, but like if you think about people, you call them, or like don't blow it off, because you know we've all experienced way too much people passing, as well as like when life changes, like, you know, they're simple, like people calling you, little things like that. I got a phone call from Shannon Moore. That man, he's just like, hey man, three people just been talking to you. I heard three Tommy Dreamer references in day, and I just want to check on you. So I told him everything that was going on. But things like that make you feel better. They really do. So reach out to people when you can. That's my one message. And my other one is like, you know, kind of take care of yourselves. I joke about how much I eat. Like I said, I have been trying, and it is so hard. And people that have been fighting with, you know, their weight, they totally get this. And but I've also been on the other scale. That's right. A young Tommy Dreamer. And I've told this story. I used to take weight gainer, and like, cause I couldn't gain weight and I was super thin. And I remember, you know, crying because I wanted to be a wrestler so bad. And like, I just didn't know, I was tall and skinny. And now I cry on the other end because I'm tall and fat. Actually, I've lost 2 inches from a broken neck and a broken back. Cause I used to be 6'3" and now I'm 6'1". But you also got to be happy with yourself and you got to love yourself. And for a while I wasn't, I was, I don't like what I see. And then you go downstairs and you have food, and food has always been there for me and my dogs, but it's hard. It really, really is. And you know, when you're in a depression, you normally don't know when you're depressed. Some people, if you think about it, it's a blessing when you could say I'm depressed, because you at least could recognize it. I was this way a long time ago after ECW went out of business, and I like was down to like 235 and went to WWE, and the rest is history. But you just got to really do. You got to love yourself. I don't have, and you got to realize that, man, something's not right, in the sense of like, you got to get your head back in the game. Because I watched my mom struggle for life and not want to die, and it was out of her hands. And we only have one life. My mother, as of we're recording this, what is today's date? Recording this on Wednesday, March 8th. The Thursday before, my mom got cleared to drive full, like she's going head first. She was going back to work, and she got 100%. Your blood pressure is good. You don't having, you know, you're cleared. You're medically cleared to go back and live your life. And like I said, we're recording this March 8th. March 7th, my mom called me up, which is rare when my mom calls me in the mornings. She's like, Tom, I can't get out of bed. And then she was like, my legs hurt, and like, I can't physically move my legs. And they're just so like heavy. And I was like, Mom, we're going to go to the hospital. And then sure as shit, she had another stroke yesterday. I feel so bad for her. She's going to make it. But I feel very, very bad for her, because like all that rehab and all that work, I felt it was gone. And like, she works so hard to go back to live her normal life, like reteach herself how to walk, do all this physical therapy again at 82 years old, and then to have another stroke. And sadly the process starts again, but it's not going to affect the House of Hardcore podcast. And I'm going to continue to work even harder, because when I spoke to her, she was just like, well, now I got to work even harder to get back to my normal life, which is very commendable at 82 years old. So that's kind of been going on with me. I have, you know, I still do Busted Open. I love it. It's a lot of therapy for me. But you know, you just got to keep on going on. And my mom says all the time, I got to keep on going, because there was days when I would call her just to check on her. If I, you know, again, I was taking care of her, but I wasn't with her 24/7 because she also didn't want that. And then it's like, she'd be sleeping. And she's like, I hate this. I just fall asleep. Or when they're trying to get her medicine correct, she's like, I just fall asleep. I don't want to just be sleeping my days away, because how many more days do I have left? Honestly, how many days do any of us have left? We don't know. So I got to continue living my life. Everyone else does too. So those are my two little stories and kind of where my House of Hardcore podcasts had gone away. I thank you, everyone, for supporting it. And I appreciate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Appreciate it. I really do. So we're back. I got some cool guests lined up for the next few weeks already, because I'm trying to get a few in the can just in case something like this happens. But you guys have committed to me, so I got to commit to you. I got to thank everyone at Gas Digital for standing by me. There really are a bunch of really, really good people that care. I got a lot of great producers. This is my man, G Mike. And that whole group has been amazing. Same with everyone at Busted Open, because they kind of know. And same with Impact. There's been times like we have meetings and I have to miss them, because when you're working with an elder person, you know, it's nothing takes 10 minutes. But even like yesterday, I had a meeting that I couldn't miss. And I was like, hey, man, my mom, I'm at the hospital. I waited 7 hours till she got a bed with her. And like, they're doing all the tests. And, you know, I had to stay by her. So just thank everybody that's kind of supported me, and thank, you know, the wrestling fans. And that's the real life shit that has been going on. And it is shit. And I hate for anyone to be going through this. I wish we just had all like perfect lives, but we don't. But that's part of life. And I'm going to keep on going. So I hope each and every one of you do as well. Now, I was part of another controversial thing on Saturday night. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The picture that went viral, Loggate, as I like to call it. I was the main event of Loggate that night. And this goes back to something that I've experienced firsthand, and as well as the world should kind of take note. Judging a book by its cover. And I'm a big advocate for not judging a book by its cover or going from a picture. If I could talk about Loggate, and you've seen it on the internet, but it's also the digital part of, you know, the House of Hardcore podcast, my return on 2023. There was a log posted on social media that looked like it was holding up the ring. And everyone made comments. Wrestlers made comments. Fans made comments. Long story short, that day, they were setting up the ring. The ring skirts were late. The ring canvas was late. Don't know what happened to it. And I wrestled for this organization many times. Always had a great pleasure. The ring ropes snapped, which happens everywhere. And so they're quickly fixing it. They're also outside was fans waiting. There was also a birthday party. And there was a lot of people who like had paid money to see this show. Now, the one thing I got to tell you is I have seen worse than Loggate, in the sense of the floor was uneven. And if you went to one side of the ring, it's kind of like was like a broken table because the flooring was uneven. So you would get like kunk kunk if you ran to that one side of the ring. And we've all have been in places where a table was lopsided. I'm going to give you back, and you all could go back and watch it either on the Peacock or watch it on YouTube. Ravens, one of his returns to ECW. We're wrestling in Atlanta. It was the weekend where Dusty Rhodes first debuts, and he's wrestling a wrestler. I want to say it was like a Super Callow. It was someone from WCW wearing a mask, throws the person outside the ring, beats him up, throws him back inside the ring, and he tries to get into the ring and he can't. And we kept telling everybody, hey, the floor is uneven, and they put like little pieces of wood to hold up the entire ring. It was also a circle meeting a square because it was on a stage. So we had to tell everyone, hey, we built this little makeshift ramp. Be careful, because if not, you're going to fall off. But the ring is elevated because of the floor is really warped, whatever, due to water damage. And they put like maybe 8 pieces of wood, but like stacked small pieces of wood. Anyway, Raven couldn't get in the ring. It was actually very funny because he's seriously trying to pull himself into the ring. And then at the end of the show, I remember showing when the ring crew showed us, all the boards broke, and the only way they were hanging, it was about 8 pieces. The only reason why they stood together is like if you stacked Oreos and then all your Oreos cracked. But for some reason, they all stayed together, like, or else this ring was collapsing. I've been part of where rings collapse. I've been part of where ropes have broken. Me particular, ropes have never broken when I'm wrestling, but in shows. I know also this was in ECW. We also one time, and I've seen other people do this, had where the padding was wearing down and the ring would like slope. And also, well, for noise, there was a stop sign under the canvas. So what are the wrestlers then doing? Bumping on a stop sign or bumping on street signs that were stolen from streets, or borrowed, I should say. So we're bumping on metal. So a ring is canvas, then padding, then wood, then metal. I've also been in rings that were, and when every wrestler jumped on it, I was like, man, you have all wrestled in worse rings. We've all wrestled with worse ropes. I have been stabbed on indie shows from turnbuckles where the hooks of the wiring have cut me, got in my arm, in my back, different places, or even shreds of rope have cut me, not rope, like at the end of it is the exposed steel cable. And it has cut me, like stabbed me. When I had started House of Hardcore, that was like one of my first things. Like I kept renting somebody's ring and I just wasn't happy the way the ropes looked. And then I was like, you know what? I just got to get my own ring. Because as a wrestler, I appreciate that. I have wrestled on, you know, rings that have had no canvas. I have wrestled with no canvas. No padding. It's just wood. I was trained in a boxing ring. So maybe that's what helped make me stupid hardcore. But then it's also being safe. If I could go back to Loggate, that was the only reason that thing was there. And the biggest misconception, it wasn't holding up the ring. It really wasn't. The ring had 4 posts and it was all set. And underneath the ring, some places have a cable that you put in an X that makes the ring hold steady. That's what snapped, which caused the ropes to break, and all they do is they retighten it. I've seen it happen on a million shows, but everyone wants to throw their opinion on something that just wasn't truth. And then they want to go after the promotion and all that stuff. And all it was just for extra support of just in case you hit that ring. And every talent was told, hey, this is happening. Just be safe out there. Like every show, there was a low ceiling. I literally from standing can touch the ceiling with my hand. And there were still wrestlers that went off the top rope. I personally was in that ring and I believe I took one bump because I'm going to be extra safe because I am older. Also, I fight on the floor because I'm hardcore. There was a multi-person match that was off the charts, and all the wrestlers like busted their ass. And like from the first match, like I saw it, I watched it, and I was like, man, this ring sounds great. Is bouncing. I asked the wrestlers who had one hell of a performance. And the first thing I told them, I was like, guys, you tore it up. How's the ring? And they were like, oh, not bad. The ropes are a little loose, but besides that, it's actually a good ring. And you know, when I get into the ring, if anyone's ever noticed, what I do is I usually clean my feet and then I bounce my back off the top rope. Why? To see how the ropes are. And then I walk around. And what I'm doing is seeing where there's holes in, if wood moves, if there's dips, because if you hit one of those dips or if you hit where those wood openings are, you're going to blow out your knee, get hurt. So that's what I kind of do. I test out the ring before I actually go in it, because so many wrestlers, you do so many shows and so many wrestling companies have different rings. That's the one thing that like you do miss about a WWE or an AEW or an Impact Wrestling is like they usually have very, very professional rings. But I've also been in very, very bad rings. You know, I know it's changed, but like WWE's overseas rings were horrible because they were just stored until the WWE went overseas. All the wrestlers will talk about like the 80s, where those rings were not only 20 by 20, but they would be like so big. And like also when it's big, it's going to hurt more when you're bumping, which makes you appreciate the hard work of a lot of those guys. And you'll see the moves that they've taken. I've wrestled in 20 by 20s, 18 by 18, 16 by 16, and 14 by 14s. And 14 by 14s are like oof in the sense of because they're so small. But, you know, as performers, we all go out there and we perform to the best of our ability. And I was actually very proud of the men and women that worked on that show. I wish some of them worked a little smarter, but they all went all out, even though they had the pre-existing connotation that this ring was bad, but the ring wasn't bad. And then everybody, like I said, went out there from pitchers and, you know, either posted jokes or whatever. But I mean, honestly, when a ring has all four posts, it's safe, and that's what's holding it up. And yes, you're going to get crappy rings and crappy boards. ECW, man, you've seen where rings collapsed in ECW. We see where, you know, for anyone who lived it, we had rings that were break or ropes that were break. You know, the famous Mike Awesome spot, we had that all the time. We were renting somebody's ring, and then it was, I believe, Taz who was just like, that's it, man, we're going, this company's going for Paul, you're getting your own ring, we're no longer relying, or a ring shows up late, and it was, we're no longer relying on somebody else's ring. Plus, why? Because Taz was a wrestler. When I started my own company, I'm a wrestler. This is my, where I work. I want to have the best for myself and for others, because I don't want to get stabbed. I don't want somebody else to get hurt in my ring. And then it was like, well, if you have a ring, then you also got to have a ring crew. You also got to have all this stuff, a way to transport it. There's so many, then it goes to expenses. A big reason why, like for me, when I'm not doing House of Hardcore during the pandemic, like I paid $4,000 for my ring and I don't rent it out. I'm no longer running shows and I'm spending $500 a month to store it. So now I'm losing money on this thing that I'm never using. And it was just like, you know what? I got to give it to somebody, sell it, try to make some money back, because I'm not doing House of Hardcore shows anymore, wrestling shows. So it's like all these variables, but my biggest variable that I kind of want to take away from like this, what I keep on talking about, is everybody made jokes, comments, not at me, but because of a picture. And it was just a massive misrepresentation of actually what went on. And if any wrestler made a comment negative, I got to tell you, you've all wrestled in way worse rings and you all have done way bigger risks than wrestling in that ring that night, because I was in that ring and it was fine. And it's just kind of like a statement for how you got to view stuff on social media when you don't have all the facts. You know, maybe lay off some of the negative. The joking is ha-ha, and a lot of wrestlers were. And forget about like the fans, because the fans, they weren't a part of that situation. But if you're going to add to it, like, just, you know, I guess either be kind, because I'll tell you my last part of this. There was a birthday party for a kid, and he waited outside with his parents because they were, you know, fixing the ring. And a massive part about what you do, and for me, I think about wrestling. Whenever I talk about wrestling, it's me and my dad. My dad is not sick. My dad died of Parkinson's disease. And he's, when I think about times with, that I had with wrestling, it's a carefree time. I had nothing to worry about. Both my parents were alive. I'm watching this favorite thing I love called professional wrestling. I have no bills to pay. I have nothing to worry about except who's going to win or lose a match. And it, wrestling takes me back to that place, especially like if I do think of my dad, I don't think about the bad times, I think about the good times. And that for this kid's birthday party, him and all his friends, man, they had an amazing time. And like, it was a moment for them, instead of a kid's birthday party being ruined. And they didn't know about this log until one wrestler who her name, nameless, me, pointed it out. And I told everyone they should take a picture with it. And the log wasn't charging for its 8x10. So get it, because the log was going to get popular. And sure as shit, the log did get popular. The log went viral. But it was about creating moments for that kid. And those kids, they probably like between 8 and 9. They didn't know about the ropes breaking or the ring, the floor being unsettled. All they knew is that they had a great time at a professional wrestling show. And they got to see, hopefully, future stars, a past star and myself. And they just had a great time with their family. And the organization and myself and above and beyond with the family. There was also another, and this happens at every indie show, like, hey, these people bought my tickets, or they just oversold front row. We got to get front row. Like, everybody went above and beyond to accommodate people if they oversold tickets. But honestly, man, it was a fun show. And it was also a fun show for, it was in a VFW hall. What is a VFW hall for? Veterans. And helps raise money for veterans, people who, you know, fought for our freedom. A lot of wrestlers, you play fake heroes, but these are the real heroes. And it was just an overall good, fun night. And then driving home, my friend calls like, oh my God, can you believe this? And I was like, yeah, dude, I was at that show. And it was just like, then you see a lot of the negativity, and it's unwarranted. Ain't gonna affect my life. I'm just trying to pay it forward, because like I said in earlier, it's a lot bigger things going on with me, where again, like, I see people that I love fighting for their life, people who are sick, trying to have a better day. So I just kind of want everyone to try to have a better day, and just trying to give some truth and shed some light on good old Log Gate, because it wasn't what everyone had expected it to be. So with that being said, like I said, next week we'll have some guests, and we'll have more and more guests. I'm going to keep on going, and I hope you do too. I love you all, and I appreciate everyone so, so much. Keep on listening to the House of Hardcore podcast. Listen to all the podcasts here on Gas Digital. Listen to Busted Open. Support every professional wrestling company. And like I said, I love you guys. And that's this week's episode of the House of Hardcore podcast.
A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability and versatility built in, like Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Z-Series mowers that deliver a quality cut, and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today.
Green & Sons Farm and Lawn Equipment. On the web at greenandsons.com